Welcome to episode 389 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. So many of you may not know, but I had plans for a number of years to create a podcast based on all-inclusive resorts. And like most people who planned a podcast, I'm still planning 5 years later. So one of the things as travel advisors that we find is most important is to qualify our clients. And one of the things that we find that clients don't always know a lot about are all-inclusive resorts. It's not uncommon to give a quote for a resort for $2,000 for a week, and you can find the same resort in the same location for $5,000 for a week. And one of the things that it's kind of our job is to let you know what makes up that big difference in cost between a couple thousand and quite a bit more. So tonight we wanted to talk about some of those things that you can look for that will
enhance
or justify a much larger cost in looking for an all-inclusive resort. Anybody want to start?
Well, I think we should start with the term all-inclusive, because I think that all-inclusive is a lie. I mean, it really is. There's nothing out there in the normal family of resorts. There are places where it's all-inclusive, but those are huge price tags. A lot of people just don't even go there. But all-inclusive can mean alcohol and food is included. It could mean non-motorized water sports. It could be motorized. It could be scuba diving. It could be golf. And it could be none of those things. It could be, you know, just a small meal plan or only basic beverages and not alcohol. So especially if you're talking about an all-inclusive in the U.S. So I think that that's the first thing is to start with. All-inclusive doesn't more than likely mean all inclusive. You're almost always going to pay for spa packages. You're always going to pay for activities, sometimes gratuities.
Tip your driver.
Well, I mean, and then there's a few that include spas and excursions. But honestly, most of the all-inclusives in the Caribbean and Mexico don't. Right. That's an extra added cost.
And if they do, they more than likely have a difference in like the alcohol that's included. It might just be beer and wine. It won't be spirits or
even premium spirits.
Yep. So the term all inclusive is sort of, you shouldn't take it literally. I think that's the lesson to carry away. It's mostly true, but not all true.
Right. You can definitely go to an all inclusive and not spend more. But the fact of the matter is you're probably going to spend more if you want to do anything local, if you want to do the spa,
I know that most of the all-inclusives, if you look at your travel docs, they will specifically say that gratuities are included. And I can't think of any all-inclusive resort outside of Sandals that I've been to where we didn't tip extra, because you know those people working at the resorts are working lots of days and long hours and really rely on those tips.
Get you a little extra attention.
I know there are other lines that are other brands that don't require gratuities, like at AM Resorts it says that they're included, but they don't tell their staff to push away gratuities, whereas at Sandals they're actually, if they get caught, then they can actually be reprimanded for it if they get caught taking tips. So I think most places leave tips at your discretion. And in fact, they can really affect your experience as well. So if you choose not to tip, you will have a very different experience from someone who is tipping generously.
That's one that's hard to really tell people. You know, like when people ask me about tipping, I'm like, well, it's up to you. You can tip more if you want to. And I don't feel like you should have to, you know? I always tell people to bring lots of small bills, you know, depending on how long they stay, like $50 or, whatever. But And I'm like, okay, on your excursion, you're definitely going to tip this person. You know, your driver that drives you to the resort, you're definitely going to tip this person.
So you go through and, TSA looking like you, you know, went to the nightclub.
I mean, yeah.
One.
Yeah, that's a hard one for me. I don't know. It's one that, I don't know. So George, do you typically tip everybody? Every meal,
buffet, a la carte.
Now, do you tip like a couple dollars, or do you tip like you're in the U.S. going out to dinner?
So, no, I don't tip. I don't figure out what I think the meal would have cost and tack 20% on, no. So, normally for me, if it's just me and my wife, I leave $5 per meal. Last time we went with our daughter, so there were four of us, and we split it. I left five, they left five.
You do that for breakfast and dinner?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I leave $5 a day for housekeeping. I tip the snack guy that comes and restocks the mini bar. Could you be amazed how many Snickers you get in the mini bar when you leave a couple bucks in there?
That's a good tip.
It helps. Yep. Yeah, if you want something special in the mini bar, just meet that guy the first day when he comes in and give him a few bucks, and you are set for the week. So for tipping, for me, the one I have the biggest problem with are the resorts that offer a butler that aren't sandals, and they, you know, it's just, they're more of a glorified concierge than a butler. And it really comes down to how much did I use them? I know that when we were at Unico this year, we used the butler a lot. We lost something at one of the restaurants, and he went and scrounged around till he found it and brought it back. And he made all our dining reservations and took care of all of our luggage, and he was great. So I tipped him probably more than I've tipped anybody else. But, and I think I tipped him maybe 100 for the week, but he did a ton for us that I would have had to do myself. And for $100, it was worth it for me to sit in the pool and let somebody else handle it. So that's a tough one.
I always tip the pool guy or the beach waiter, you know, that comes out and actually brings, I mean, I have dollars, and every time they bring a drink, it's $1 per drink. So.
That's something I need to get better about, obviously.
Yeah, I'm a terrible tipper. And I will say that, I mean, there are times where I tip well, and then times that I don't tip at all. And that's usually when they say the tips are included. And I do it a little bit because I forget sometimes, but I do it also because I like to see what the difference is. And I do think that it's true. Like, my mini bar is usually, I might get M&Ms, maybe, you know, and they don't really pay attention to what we're drinking out of it. So I'll be drinking the Diet Coke out of it, and we'll get more Sprite, you know. So I have had situations like that, or you just get exactly what you ate and, you know, nothing else. So I know too, the bartenders will respond sometimes to tips better, and, you know, your drink might not be as watered down, or, you know, they
check on you faster. Premium.
What do you do, George, if you don't see the person refilling your mini bar or your fridge? Do you put money in the fridge?
I do. I leave singles in the fridge. Yeah, because, you know, it's the one place they're going to open it up to check and see if you use anything. So, yeah, yep. And usually the first day, I leave five on the end of the bed with a note that I write with Google Translate to put it in Spanish, because I know they don't speak English, that it just says for housekeeping. So they know that whatever I leave there is for them every day.
Okay.
Nice. Yep.
Okay. So you know, you think all inclusive, you're not going to show up with a bunch of cash, but it sounds like you show up with a couple $100 in cash.
For tips. Usually.
Good to know.
Yep. So let's talk about the other difference is food. And food will definitely vary greatly based on the cost of the restaurant or the cost of the resort. And that's really because the more expensive resorts spend more on food, and they're buying better quality meat. They're buying better quality produce and
better chefs,
restaurants,
better chefs, better menu. I mean, I can tell you that Unico, they had duck tacos. That's not something you're going to find at a lower end resort. It's just not. You might find tacos, but they're not going to be stuffed with duck.
They're going to probably
find tacos.
Yep.
Yeah. It's true. And that's one of those times where it's not going to be the same resort. Like you won't, but brand wise, you can tell. So often, you know, one brand will have a very consistent food program. And so you'll know that if you go to an excellence here or an excellence there, you're going to get some consistency. You'll have some variation too, because the chefs have some freedom, but they're operating at the same sort of level, you know, price wise. Or there may be a resort in the family that is a higher price. And then you'll experience more. I think one thing that comes to mind is beaches. Beaches Turks and Caicos has more restaurant choices and is a much higher price point in general. Part of that is location, but you're also getting more choices at that place. Like you're getting more options, and everything is sort of upgraded there. So even though, and the other beaches aren't cheap, I mean, it's still an expensive brand, but they aren't as expensive as that one particular flagship kind of resort.
And we see that, especially with quotes, people will ask for, I'm looking for an all-inclusive in St. Lucia. And okay, but be prepared. It's not Cancun pricing, just for the resort alone, never mind the airfare. Or they want an all-inclusive resort on St. Thomas, which,
Doesn't exist.
Yeah. That I think is a key thing to know, is the reason, like, people ask for them in Hawaii too. All inclusives happen in the Caribbean because the tax laws will allow them to happen in the Caribbean and the price point will allow them. But once you get to US soil, whether it's, you know, a state or a territory or a, you know, an island, it's going to be under US tax laws. And so that's why there are a few all inclusives in the United States. But again, all inclusive doesn't mean all. They will be mostly inclusive. Usually the thing that is lacking is the beverage service, because that's where US tax laws come into play and US laws in general. And again, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't quote you the
The
chapter
liquor
and verse
laws.
on it. Yeah, but that is a big portion of why you don't find them there.
Yep. And in addition to food quality, the other big difference you're going to see is that the more budget-friendly all-inclusive resorts will have mostly buffets. They
Buffets.
may not have any a la carte restaurants where everything is a buffet. And if that's your thing, then that's great. We visited, on the fam I did to the Dominican, we visited the Riu Republica. Beautiful resort, but every restaurant was a buffet, and I knew right then that that just wasn't a resort for me. But if you're
But
okay
it's
with
a really
that,
good price point
it is.
for,
It
you know,
prices
somebody
really well.
who really can't spend a lot, but they still want to go out on vacation.
Another thing I've seen at those kinds of resorts too is that you might only get the option of dining at each restaurant one time during your stay. You know, like they'll limit the amount of times you can go. So
I have never had that. Is that common?
it's like
it
the
can
cheaper
be.
ones.
It
Is
can
it?
be. It's
Okay.
usually with the specialty dining that, and sometimes that even costs extra. So they can say, okay, well, you can go to the steakhouse one night and you can go to the seafood restaurant one night, but you can't do the seafood restaurant twice.
Good to know.
It really, I mean, every resort is a little bit different, so there's not a way to really categorize that into one lump sum.
What else can we talk about? How about
Well, with
transfers? Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I was gonna that's actually a good thing to talk about, but I was gonna say with food comes beverage, and we sort of touched on it, but you know, your alcohols can vary as well. So if you're going, you know, I mentioned before that some all inclusives might be just beer and wine. Generally in the Caribbean it would also include spirits, but it may be brands of liquor you have never heard of. If you want your Tito's, you need to check to make sure that they actually have it, because some of the lower price points will have vodka, gin, all of that stuff, but it won't be anything you've ever heard of, no brand you've ever heard of. Whereas if you go to a higher end resort, they're not only going to have higher end brands, but they're even going to, in some cases, partner with certain brands of, you know, beer, wine, or spirits. So.
Or in some cases, ask you what you like and have it there for you. If
You
you
know,
really want to spend some money.
And then they also most, I mean, if it's a little higher end brand, a resort, they also usually have some kind of wine bar. And you know, you have $100 and $200 bottles of wine, and those are not part of the deal.
In fact, if you want a bottle of wine at an all-inclusive, you almost always have to pay for it. There are exceptions. There are places where you can get a bottle of wine included, but then they'll almost, I think all of them, there may be one that everything's included, but I doubt it, will have a wine cellar and a list so that if you want an upgraded wine, and that's a big thing. What is the house wine? Because if you want to drink the free wine all week, that's a lot easier to do at a higher end resort where their house wine is a higher brand. You know, some of them have partnered with wineries or what have you, whereas their house wine, you know, at a low end resort may not even be drinkable as far as you're concerned. Especially if you're a foodie, you really want to start leveling up on your resorts. You don't have to go all the way to the top, but you definitely don't want to start at the least expensive resorts. You'll be very disappointed.
And you might want to up it to some club level. So talk about the difference, George, in like the rooms, the club level versus the standard lead in, that kind of thing.
So in most resorts I'm familiar with or that I book for clients, there is no difference. The junior suite swim up and the preferred club junior suite swim up are the exact same room. They're square foot is the same. The bedding's the same. There's no difference in the room at all. The only difference is going to be the extra amenities that would come with the preferred club, like a butler. You might have alcohol in the room. You might have a better mini bar. You may be in a different location. Sometimes the preferred clubs are maybe closer to the beach. But the rooms generally, they don't build a different style room for club level.
Yeah, with the Playa resorts, they actually, so you got full sun in the regular room, and then in the club level you actually got a little bit of shade, and yes, they were closer to the beach.
Yeah, and sometimes it's view. I mean, sometimes it is purely view. I know there, and this may have changed actually since I was there, but at South Coast, the butler level was sort of on the middle floor of one building. I think it was the Italian building. It was on the second floor and the fourth floor. And part of that was the view, the quality of the view on those floors, as opposed to the quality on the first floor where you're literally, you know, looking straight out. But the advantage on the first floor is you could walk out. So if the butler wasn't important to you, but you wanted easy access to the outdoors, that might have been a good option for you.
And the one question I see on the fan forums more than any other one for resorts that offer club level is it worth it? And I can't answer that question for you. I can only tell you what it includes, and if your budget allows it, go for it, because it's going to be a better experience. But I wouldn't say that you're not going to have a great time if you don't do it. I've done both, and I generally upgrade to club because we tend to go to the split family / adult only resorts, and the club level is usually on the adult only side. So I don't have to spend my time sharing a pool with kids.
Well, sometimes even they have club level restaurants.
Yeah,
so I've been to a couple of resorts where, you know, you can't eat at this restaurant unless you are in the club level.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Actually, at the height of COVID, I stayed at the Secrets Resort in Playa Mujeres, and we went to club level, partially because I'm a little bit bougie, but also because they did have a restaurant that was just for club level, and so we knew we would have a much more private space. There was also a lounge just for club level, and of course there's people in there. I mean, it's club level. I'm not the only one in club level, but it's a smaller crowd, and so during COVID, that was really important to us. That was the main reason we upgraded, but we also got upgraded alcohol in the room, which I'm grateful for, and I often tell a story that Sandy has used before. I'm pretty sure I'm attributing it correctly, where it's like you don't really care about there being alcohol in your room until it rains, and then you're like, oh man, I gotta walk to the bar.
And you're like, yeah, you're like, I can just run out to the bar and I don't need it in my room. But yeah, sometimes it's nice to come out of the shower, don't have your phone on yet.
Yep.
You can go right to your mini bar and get yourself a drink. Yeah,
and mm-hmm. sometimes you also have private pools too, mm-hmm. that are just for club level or you know, VIP guests. It's fun to feel a little, you know, uppity.
I agree with you, George, though. I think if your budget allows, then yeah, I've never had anybody say it wasn't worth it, that they didn't enjoy the extra amenities. So
Yeah. Because even if you don't drink that much, you know, which is already a struggle if you're going at all inclusive, people are like, oh, what am I paying for? You get the private treatment. You get the even semi-private or separated check-in where you don't have to stand in line. They'll sit you down right away. And, you know, you may still have to wait a little bit, but you'll be on a couch with a lovely drink in your hand, as opposed to waiting, standing in line, you know. So any of those things could be important enough to you to upgrade for. I mean, for me, I like the exclusive access to places. And at that particular resort that I was just talking about, the higher shelf liquor and the better bartenders were in the preferred club lounge. Like, that's sort of considered a career promotion to be the bartender in there. So the ones at the pool were great, but the ones in the lounge were the best. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. One of the other things I see quite a bit is that there's a confusion when it comes to club level, that it's just an add-on to a room, that, you know what, when I get to the resort, I'll add the club package on. And it doesn't work that way, in at least in any resort I can think of. Club level is a separate room category. You have to book it. There's limited numbers like there are of anything else. And once you get to the resort, there may not be any left for you to upgrade to. So I think we can all say this. If you want a room or a particular category, book it with your agent before you leave. Don't wait till you get there thinking that they're just going to give you the room for next to nothing because it's empty. It doesn't work that way.
And I cannot tell you how many people come to me so proud that they upgraded at the resort and they tell me what they paid. And I'm like, I quoted that room for less than that. But their memory is like, I got this great deal, you know, because I wheeled and dealed. It's like, I actually can't think of a single occasion where somebody's gotten it for less than I quoted it for. Sometimes the same, because the price hasn't necessarily changed. But yeah, rarely for less. Definitely.
Well, and a lot of times those higher end rooms are the ones that sell out the fastest. You wouldn't think it because they're so expensive. But I mean, you know, look at Sandals Rendezvous and their, you know, over the water bungalows and those kinds of rooms. They are hard to get.
Mm-hmm. You can't get them for more than just, what, 2 or 3 days for those open water bungalows.
Supply and demand is a real thing, mm-hmm. for sure. That actually reminded me of something else. And now, I think some of the confusion actually happens too with, there are some resorts, I can talk firsthand about Aruba. Aruba doesn't have a whole lot of all-inclusive, but it's a demand that some people have. I'm going to an island and I want all-inclusive. And there are a few all-inclusives there. But also there are a few resorts there that offer an all-inclusive package, which is an add-on. So that is literally, you can book any room and then you can add on the all-inclusive package. So I think that it's easy to sort of confuse that concept with the club level concept. And it just, I mean, you could go to the resort and upgrade to a club level room, but you're actually changing rooms when you do that. You're not just slapping a package on top of it.
Yep. So let's talk about transfers. Transfers are kind of all over the place. I know that sometimes they're in quote unquote included. I know that all of the tour operators I use automatically throw transfers into the reservation, but it's not included. It is a separate cost. And then there are some that throw it in and you don't see the cost. And then there's some resorts that actually provide transfers themselves that are included in the cost.
Mm-hmm. And that can vary quite a bit too, because the higher the room category, the nicer the transfer sometimes. So if you're in one of those butler categories or something, they're going to send a Mercedes to go pick you up at the airport, and you know they'll have the guy,
or a Rolls Royce, yeah,
or a Rolls Royce, or some. If you're in just the run of the mill room and it is included, then you're going to be on a Sprinter van, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You might go to more resorts than your own.
Yes. And if you're in a shared transfer with, you know, with just any Tom, Dick, or Harry.
I did that on my very first trip, and I didn't really know the difference, and booked a shared transfer. Oof, that was an education. Never mm-hmm. do that again.
It's mm-hmm. not, I mean, I always do the shared transfer as long as they have one stop. We're not going to all these resorts. It's basically, you know, everybody that's in that van is going to my resort.
Yeah, I actually did something during that same trip in the height of COVID. I was like, oh, well, I'll just book a shared transfer because there won't be many people on it because not many people are traveling. Well, I was incorrect. And the worst thing is, I do know a little bit about the geography of where I was going, and suddenly we're turning, and I'm like, why are we going to the hotel zone? So we not only stopped on the way, we went out of the way. They were like, oh, we're going to take some people, because we only have this one person going to Playa Mujeres, so we're going to take all these other people to the hotel zone
First.
first. So yeah, that backfired big time. Yeah, so private transfers all the way.
Yes.
Or at least make sure it's a
A
nonstop.
nonstop transfer. Well, and a lot of times it's not much more. If you have a group of like four people or six people, a private transfer really might not be much more just to
It
get
might
the
even be
whole thing
cheaper.
up.
Yeah.
It might even be cheaper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. To sort of shift there, I also want to talk about cost-cutting measures that people think about. They work elsewhere, but not with all-inclusives. And one of those is sharing a room. You don't have to pile four people, if you're all adults, into a room. You're probably not going to save that much money because this is an all-inclusive. It doesn't mean you're just paying for a hotel room and you're getting all this extra stuff. You're paying for an all-inclusive resort, so your rate is higher. And so that third and fourth person are coming in at very close to the same rate. So it's really worth looking at. And I've even had cases where putting four people in a room was more expensive, slightly, not huge, but slightly, than getting two rooms. And it's usually my families with teenagers, and they're like, well, let's get two rooms then. Why would we do that? We need more space. Two bathrooms? Yes, please. So it's always worth sort of checking it out. Don't expect that, unless you all, you're going on a girls trip and you all want to be super close together, then you don't have to be. Usually that, two versus three, it
Or
isn't,
you're college
or four.
students and you don't mind sharing a bed.
Right. I mean, if you're going down to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, yes, it's cheaper for four of you to share a room, but when it's an all-inclusive, it's not necessarily the case.
One thing though to be aware of is they don't, a lot of resorts don't guarantee connected rooms, or they won't guarantee that you'll be close by. So if you do have that situation with the teenagers, they might not be right by you. Have you had that, George? Because you're, I mean, your daughters are not teenagers, so they're adults, but
I guess I do what most all of us do. We email the resort ahead of time and say, so generally I book resorts that through a TO that offers both doubles and kings specific reservations. So I did have that problem one time when I was booking AM resorts back in the day, and it was a king or two queens, and there was no way to tell which one you wanted. And the client specifically, it was a group of four ladies, two in a room, and they each wanted two queens. Well, the problem was that there are no swim ups in AM resorts where there's two sets of two queens side by side. In fact, there's not two sets of two queens in the same building. So because they both wanted swim ups and they both wanted two queens, they were in completely different buildings, which unfortunately there wasn't really anything you could do about it. So no, since we talked to our girls about that and told them, you're staying in a king. It's a really big bed. There's plenty of room for both of you, and deal with it for a week. Because otherwise you're going to be somewhere else on the resort, probably not near us. And I always email, if I have clients that are very specific about a building request, I email the sales team a couple of weeks before they go and request a particular room or building. But keep in mind, those are requests and they really are best effort on the part of the resort. And there's no guarantee that you're even going to be remotely close to each other.
And as long as you're booking the same category, that actually tends to be a little easier. So, because I've had clients that they wanted a king for the parents, and then they wanted two queens for the kids, and it's like, I mean that could be a completely different building. So, but if you put a king, two people in a king, and then put, the kids in the king, then usually there's you can usually get, a room next either next to each other or, one door down or something.
Yeah, and now if you know that the resort has connecting, and in this case, I was able to book connecting rooms. They have a category for that. So, but if you know that you want connecting, then it's you want two different bed types. So it's very rare in the hotel world anywhere that a king will connect to a king, or two queens will connect to two queens. It's usually a king will connect to two queens. That is the industry standard. Are there exceptions? Yes, but there are very few, and I don't know of any at any all-inclusive resorts off the top of my head. So if you want rooms that connect, then you're going to want to make sure you're booking a king and two queens. But you really want to have your travel agent do that for you. So, and not every hotel, not every all-inclusive has connecting rooms. Not
some
every
chains, though, will let you. They'll let you book guaranteed connecting that way, like you're saying.
Yep. They'll usually call it a family suite, and that, but that's what it is connecting rooms. Yeah.
Or some of them will actually hold their connecting rooms, and there's an upcharge to to get those rooms on top of whatever the room is. It's, I think one of them was $60 to to pay to get the connecting rooms. Yep.
That's because I mean they're in short supply.
Yep.
Yeah. So the solution there is just wait till your kids are older and can be in a room by themselves a few doors down.
Yep. All right. Anything else we can think of?
Well, I think I think bedding is something kind of important to talk about with all-inclusives because, you know, a lot of people are like, I want to go on a girlfriend's trip to Sandals. Well, Sandals is all king-size beds. No exceptions. There are a lot of resorts that cater to couples and that you would be welcome there, except you're going to have to sleep in the same bed. And so you sort of want to keep that in mind that that bedding is one of those things where if there's something that's important to you, queen size versus double, you know.
That's a big difference.
Yes. And incidentally, that's something that you'll get queen size beds when you start upgrading the cost of your resort, but it's double beds in the lower end resorts. And man, Chris and I got a two double room, and I'm not somebody that likes to complain. And in this case, I wasn't paying for the room. It was a gift. And I didn't feel comfortable going down to the lobby and asking for. And so our romantic vacation turned into separate beds because we were like, I mean, it's hot in Mexico and that is really tiny and we're really big people. It was like, good night, honey.
There's no way Jeff and I would fit in a double bed.
Oh my God. My parents to this day sleep in a double bed. You guys just need to learn how to cuddle.
Your parents are
I live with a heater and no.
And one other thing that most people don't think about is when you're looking at an adult-only resort, they're designing the adult-only resort for couples is what's in the back of their mind. So even though they may throw two queens in there, they're still thinking couple. And what happens is people are honestly surprised when they get there and the bathroom is completely wide open to the room. Mm-hmm. And when you're taking a shower, you're on
That's a good full point.
Display. Shower doors, yes.
Yeah, other than the shower door that you hope is frosted.
Or your bathtub might be in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
Or there's no door to the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I haven't had that one yet, but yeah,
no,
that would be rough.
I haven't had that one yet either, thank goodness.
Oh, yes, they're like water closets, but they don't actually have a door. They just kind of like you go around the corner.
Yep. Not so, cool. So if you're not super comfortable being in your birthday suit with the person you're going with, make sure you let your travel agent know. Cause that's one thing. Yeah. That's definitely important in qualifying.
Yep. Yep. For sure. And I mean, then if you are looking for romance, there's a lot of, really great things, but yeah, if you're not looking for romance, it can be very awkward.
Yep.
Very awkward. Yeah. Yep.
And then there's some resorts that won't even let you in if you're a single, you know.
Right.
If it's considered a couples resort, you know, and you're like, well, I want to go here. And it's like, or you want to bring a girlfriend trip and have like three people. And that doesn't fly.
Even mom and two daughters, that's, you know, I've definitely seen that where we'll struggle to find, isn't there a room with three beds? No, like that isn't a thing. It does happen, especially in Europe, but it's generally no. And if there is a third bed, it's a trundle or a bunk or, you know, something
you
designed for
a bump up to like a two bedroom suite, which is going to really bump up your price. Yeah.
Or you're sleeping on the sofa bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So that's sort of where I stress also, don't feel like you have to pile into one room. I mean, it may be worth checking to see if it's going to be that much more expensive to split into two rooms, you know, with, assuming that you can stand to be apart from each other while you sleep. So, yep. I think we kind of covered it, don't you? We get to transfer. Oh, motorized and non-motorized water sports and all those extras.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lower price resorts will usually offer some sort of non-motorized water sports, usually like little Hobie Cats or snorkel gear. Yeah, like super basic. But then when you start upgrading the resort, you may get motorized, although there's not very many resorts that offer things like jet skis and stuff like that. That's pretty rare. But then there
are, like Club Med does, but yeah, that costs extra.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I want to say $250.
Oh, that's pretty expensive.
For like a 2 hour trip. Yeah, it was kind of high.
Well, and then on that, then there's things like golf and scuba. If those two things are really important to you, tennis gets included almost everywhere. You might not get a tennis pro, but
pickleball, you can play tennis. Big thing
pickleball, yeah. But if you wanted to scuba or golf, which are two very expensive hobbies, just ask Donna, then yes. then that's, it's very rare for it to be included. But some of the higher end resorts do include it. There are some scuba focused resorts that do include it. There are some scuba focused resorts that don't include it. You still pay extra for your dives. So, and then for all inclusives, there's only a couple of brands that offer golf and or scuba.
They might not have it at every resort.
Right.
Too. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay attention because it might not be on every island.
Right. More likely.
Just call your travel agent.
Yeah, exactly. It's more likely with
training. We know these things. Yeah.
More likely with golf because you have to have a golf course that you can go to. But then sometimes you'll be surprised. There are some lower price resorts that do include golf because they have a golf course on property. So it's, they can do it.
Or basically they will provide transportation to get to the golf course and you just have to pay the greens fees, which in some of these Caribbean countries is nothing compared to what it is in the United States. So it may be worth it not to have included golf, but just, hey, book an excursion to a golf course and, pay the greens fees.
Yeah. And that is something to consider. So when greens fees are included, a lot of times caddies and golf carts are not. So again, that's that all inclusive. Yes. Golf is included, but.
Right. And they may be required too.
And they may be
required.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So you can certainly live without a caddy and you could probably live without a golf cart, but in some cases you won't have the choice. You'll have to rent them. So do you rent a caddy? That seems like a bad thing to say, but you know what I mean?
Hire a caddy.
Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I think that that's one of those things where sometimes people wonder why they're paying so much for a resort, and it's because those things are included. And if you're not using those things, then maybe you don't need to choose that particular resort. It depends on what else is there that you're looking for.
But that's coming back to like the food is going to be really good at those resorts, and there might be some really cool clubs or like nightlife kind of stuff.
Entertainers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It just depends on what you're looking for.
Some of these resorts actually bring in like name brand acts. Mm-hmm. And they sponsor them for the week. And the week that you're there, yes, you're going to pay through the nose, but you have free access to that concert.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them even have, if you're like a VIP client, then you get, special VIP access and photo opportunities and things like that, depending on how high up you are going up the ladder. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's lots of opportunities.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe us on YouTube. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.